As we think about God and how much He loves us, how often, maybe it's rhetorical, but how often are we thinking of Jesus as a friend? Now think about that. Is Jesus, we know scripture about Jesus being our friend. We know about friendship, but how often are we thinking about Jesus as our friend? Because we sing about Him as our King and as our Lord, as our Savior, but we're going to see today that Jesus also calls us friends. And so when you think about a friendship, a friend, if a true friend, goes out of their way to bless you. A friend, when you are sad, when you're sick, when you're having a hard time, a friend can lift you, lift your spirits, can bring laughter to you. A friend sticks with you, even in hard times, even when people, maybe other people are against you or reject you. A friend that's close is closer than even a sibling, even family at some point. And so a friend, we need friendships. And as we think about Jesus as our friend, I want you to think about Jesus as not just your friend, but as your King, your Savior. And so we're going to be looking at continuing in John 15 today with this idea this month, looking through the different topics in John 15, and really with this heart of, as East Bend, we are seeking to follow Jesus together. And that what that kind of looks like in my mind is some of these passages here in John 15. And how are we following Jesus together? How are we doing that, and how can we do that? And I think it all starts with what we talked about a few weeks ago, is abiding in Jesus. If we're going to be all about Jesus and following after Jesus and doing that together, then before we get going, like I said a few weeks ago, we on your mark, get set, or ready, set, and then stay, right? It's this idea that we try to get going really fast, but before getting going, we need to stay and get filled with Jesus' love. Because if we're not filled with Jesus' love, then we're going to be going off and on our own energy, on our own what we want to do, right? And even if it's kind of for the right reason, then we're going to kind of run low, not going to be good. Abiding in the love of Jesus is something that's it's very filling, very life-giving, really good. And then we looked last week about just the when we're filled with Jesus, how then we start loving like Him. And loving like Jesus happens when you're full of Jesus' love. It's hard to love like Jesus did and like Jesus calls us to do when we're doing it on our own strength. And so we can fully receive His love, but then we freely give our life like Jesus fully gave His life as a sacrifice. And then we are called to faithfully obey what He says, faithfully obey His teaching. So I want to just encourage you to open your Bibles to John 15 as we kind of jump in the next few verses of John 15. And the context of this chapter is Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's giving them this illustration about remaining in His love. And like this, or this example of this branch, whether it bears fruit or not, depending on us remaining in Jesus' love. And so we get kind of into that today in 15, verse 15. And this is what it says. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from the Father I have made known to you. Now there's, in this verse here, it's implied, Jesus other times has called His followers servants. And really this word servant can also be translated slave. And so a slave or a servant, what do? They do whatever they are told, right? They're obeying whatever they're told. So in the case of a slave or a servant, if the person in charge, the master, says, I need you to run and get these things. You know, go to town and buy these supplies. And the servant says, yeah, maybe later. That's not going to go well, right? If they say, okay, I'll do it, but then they don't really do it, or they take a while to do it, it's still not going to go well. whether they obey right then or they obey later, they're expected to obey. And if they don't obey quickly, it's not good. But what Jesus is calling his disciples is not just servants, not just slaves. Yes, we are to be servants, and we are in Christ doing what he is calling us to do, but he's calling us not just a servant, because a servant doesn't know the master's business. You know, the servant doesn't know why they have to go to town to buy these supplies. He doesn't know why they're told to do these things. They might kind of figure it out, or they might wonder, but they don't know. The master doesn't tell them, usually. But Jesus says, instead, I call you friends. Because he calls us friends because he's told everything that he's learned from the Father. He's made known to us. He's made known to his disciples. He wants his disciples not just to be serving, but he wants his disciples to be in this friendship with him. Because he lets us know the purpose. And so when we live according to the Word of God, when we live according to what Jesus says, the first thing we have to see is that he calls his followers his friends. Yes, we are followers of Jesus. If you have chosen to put your life in his hands, if you've chosen to accept his forgiveness of sins, if you've chosen to live in Jesus, in Christ, then yes, you are his followers. But Jesus doesn't just say, you're my follower, you're my disciple, you're my servant. He calls you friend. Because a friend knows what the master's business is all about. A friend knows the purpose. The friend has more inclusion with what's going on. You know, think about a king that, you know, is telling people what to do, but yet then a king that calls one of his servants over and says, hey, this is why you're doing this, and then starting build a friendship. That's kind of unheard of. In fact, maybe you have some good examples of this, but I was kind of looking for them this week and I came up short. But we're finding an example where someone in a really high position is friends with someone in a low position or someone that's over them or under them, right? And yes, I found some examples of friends that have been friends before they got famous and they continued being friends. But this idea of being friends, Jesus calling his followers friends, is something that is really exciting, because Jesus tells his followers what he's all about. His mission is to seek and save the lost, and so he wants his friends, his followers, to be all about him, all about his mission. In fact, in the next verse he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So in this verse, in verse 16, Jesus is letting his followers know, he's letting his friends know that he has this appointment for them. He has this appointment, he's appointed them to go. Maybe the emphasis isn't about going, but the emphasis is about bearing fruit. It's about living your life to show other people the kingdom of God, showing other people how good Jesus is. That Jesus isn't just our master, but he's also a friend. So if Jesus' mission was to seek and to save the lost, he then commissions his friends to bear fruit, to also seek and save the lost. The bearing fruit, this idea of finding people and letting the Word of God come to them. Now, our job isn't to make the fruit happen. Our job is to plant seeds and to water seeds and prepare people, letting people know about Jesus and how good he is. And then that what happens is people start believing in Jesus. People start following after Jesus. People start bearing fruit. And I think it's interesting in this verse here that he says this fruit, he wants us as his followers, if you're a follower of Jesus, he wants you not just to be his friend, but he wants you to be somebody that's productive for him. Now, bearing fruit, how can we do that? That sounds really hard. But Jesus gives us this statement here. He says, so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Wow. Whatever I ask, whatever you ask in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, whatever when we ask in the name of Jesus, the Father will give us. Now, be careful about that, because if we're asking, okay, I want this thing that's going to really be great for me, is that really in the best interest of bearing fruit? Probably not, right? So, yes, ask in the name of Jesus for what Jesus wants to happen. And that's why, Jesus gave us this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Jesus taught his disciples to pray this prayer, maybe not thinking about literal, word for word, this is exactly how you pray, but the idea of asking for things in Jesus' name, asking in this model of seeking God, seeking the Father, praising him, and really that our hearts would be in line with what the heart of God is. What is the heart of God? Is to reach people. The heart of God is to grow people. The heart of God is for people to know Jesus' love, accept his grace, and have joy in relationship with him. Coming into a relationship of salvation, accepting his free gift of salvation. And so if that's what bearing fruit is, then let's live according to his word. Let's live as he commissions his friends to bear fruit. He commissions you and I. He commissions us. And maybe that seems really daunting and really hard. How are we supposed to go out and bear fruit? We bear fruit because we have Christ in us. It's not us that's bearing the fruit. It's that Christ is bearing the fruit. He's including us in his mission. And over this next 21 days, I want to encourage us, each of us, to be praying this Lord's Prayer. Because what the Lord's Prayer helps us to think about is it's a model. It helps us to think about, it's about Jesus. It's about the Father. It's about the Spirit, what he wants. And that we would have our hearts lined up to what he wants. Being thankful and grateful and making it all about Jesus, right? For his glory, for his kingdom, right? It's about Jesus. And so over these next 21 days, I want you to encourage you to consider praying this prayer at least once during the day. Now, maybe you use it as a guide. You pray it and then kind of use your own language, your own words from your heart about what these things mean. And then I think what's really neat too is there's this prayer that I found from other churches in the Champaign area from a ministry lunch that I go to. And it's called Praying for Revival. And I put that on the back side of this card. This is in your bulletin. And this Praying for Revival prayer is really showing, when we pray a prayer like this, it doesn't have to be exactly these words or anything, but when we pray a prayer like this, we're asking for God's will to be done. We're asking for God to bring revival to our land. We're asking him to make us hungry for him. We're asking him that everything that happens is for the glory of his kingdom. And so I really want to encourage each of us to be praying these two prayers the next 21 days. As a church, imagine seeking the Lord in this simple way, just a few minutes a day, praying the Lord's Prayer, and then praying this prayer of revival, and that we're all praying this same thing over the next 21 days. You know, the reason 21 days is kind of a key number is because what they say is after 21 days, you've formed a habit. It takes 21 days to form a habit, and so something that's kind of neat to do near the beginning of the year is to find something as a church to do together. And, you know, and this habit of praying for what God wants, this habit of praying for His will to happen, this habit that we start praying that we would be realizing that He's commissioning us as friends to bear fruit, to be living according to His word, to be having a heart that's after God's heart. And so, please consider joining in these 21 days of prayer. Please take this card home, put it in your Bible, put it on your fridge, put it in a place, maybe on your mirror, put it in a place that you're going to see it, and that, you know, it's not this, you have to do it all the 21 days, but if we're all committed to doing it most of these days, and really all 21 would be great. But it just forms this habit of praying God's heart, and praying God's heart for reaching others, for discipling people, for growing our hearts closer to Jesus and what He's all about. And so even during this 21 days, you can be praying for youth ministry. The youth are going to be going to ice camp here in a couple weeks, and there's going to be a lot of things that happen there. There's this topic about this life with God, this abiding in God, abiding in Jesus, the kind of things we've been talking about. And there's four positions that we're going to be looking at. How with God, often we have this life that's under God, or this life that's over God, or this life that's from God, or this life that's for God. And all these, the for God seems good, right? But all these end up having kind of the wrong heart, the wrong position, because what God is calling us to is to have a life with God, life with Him, abiding in Him. He's calling us friends. He's commissioning us to bear fruit. He wants us to be doing it with Him, not just for Him or from Him. But this is all about having a life with Jesus, abiding in Him. This next verse in John 15, verse 17, just a few words here. Jesus has said this over and over. He says, "This is my command. Love each other." Sounds really simple. I mean, Jesus makes this really, like, love each other. It's three words in English. How do we love each other? I mean, Jesus says this over and over to His disciples. In these verses before this, in verse 9, He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." Verse 12, He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Pretty much the same verse here, except that He says, "as I have loved you." Verse 13, He said, "Greater love as this has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And then in verse 14, right before this, He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If you do what I command, you're my friends. If you do what I command, love one another. If you do what I command, be in me. Jesus wants us to be all about Him. He wants us to remain in His love. He wants us to be seeking Him with all our hearts. He wants us to be living according to His command. And His command is that He commands His friends to love each other. He's commanding His friends to love each other. Now, it doesn't seem very hard until it is. Now, think about this. If you're a follower, let's just say you're in a company, Chick-fil-A, for example. You know, Chick-fil-A, they model this idea of being friendly, being kind, being respectful, and that's such a value to what they're about. And so when their employees go out of their way to go get you some ketchup or a napkin or a straw or whatever it is, and they're saying it with a smile and they're so kind, you realize, wow, there's something really cool about this place. But when the employees start acting like, you don't really matter, or I don't really care about you, I'm having a bad day, so I'm just going to be grumpy, or I'm mad at, whatever it is, what does that how does that represent the company? That goes against what the company is all about, to be friendly, to be kind, to be showing love to the customers. And so what happens is, when we don't show love to each other, it makes the whole company look bad. It makes the whole, what we're all about, look bad. It's not about like East Bend Church. It's about the Church of Jesus Christ. And when the Church of Jesus Christ, when we can't even love each other, when we get mad at each other and we just like, oh, I'm sorry, I just can't forgive them, or I just can't have a friendship with them, or I can't be with them right now. Right? I mean, there's okay to have boundaries, right? But when we just are bad-mouthing each other, when we're being mean to each other, when we're showing other people that we don't get along, that shows a lot about what's in our hearts. That shows a lot about what we really believe about Jesus. Are we living out His Word? But the same is true when we love one another. Now, this love is not the worldly love. It's this love that's only from Jesus. And when we're so full of this love, being filled by Him, being abiding in His love, then we're going to extend that love to others. And it's not because it's easy, but it's because it's right. And we let go of things that bother us. And we let go of things that make us mad. And we talk to each other in love. And we use kindness. In fact, what Jesus said in a few chapters before this, in John 13, He says, "A new command I give you, love one another." So this is not new, by the way. It's new right then, but in chapter 15, it's not new. Jesus says, "Love one another." And He says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." It's not just this, like, it's a good idea. Jesus says, "You must love one another." And He gives this reason in John 13, 35. He says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is such a key part of being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, especially as a follower of Jesus together, is that we love each other. And it's not a fake love. It's a true love. It's a passionate love. It's a love that we choose to be kind. You know, our mission is to this watching world. And what's this watching world looking at? They're looking at, are we really believing and living what we say? Are we really demonstrating Jesus' love? Paul writes in Ephesians 4, the very last verse, 32, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." He wants us to remember that we have such a huge debt, and God forgave us. And if we are living in that grace that, wow, God, you forgive me of my debts, and on a regular basis, God is forgiving me, then it should be just kind of natural then when other people have debts to us, when they hurt us, that we forgive and we extend grace and we show kindness. And what it does is it shows people that Jesus' love is real. And that Jesus wasn't just saying these things, He lived it. And His followers don't just talk about it, they live it. Wouldn't that be great if we were known as people that lived out what Jesus said and actually really always did it? I mean, I know that's happening a lot of times, but if that happens all the time, the next verse here in Ephesians, it's actually chapter 5, Paul says right after this about forgiving, how Christ forgave you. He says, "Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." Paul is telling the followers of Jesus that this love is the love of Jesus, and follow His example. You know, as we are dearly loved children, let's walk like that. Let's live like that. live in the way of Jesus. Live in the way of love. Because what Jesus did, his ultimate example was that he loved you and I so much that he died for our sins. That he didn't deserve death, but he chose in love to be obedient to his Father. He chose obedience. He chose sacrifice. And because of his love, we can live forever with him. For those that have accept his love, his salvation. You know, so as believers walk in friendship with Jesus, they live according to his word. If we're a believer, let's walk in his friendship. And that means that we live according to what Jesus said. You know, this scripture, this word that he gives us is a gift. We have this scripture. We have probably multiple Bibles in our house. Maybe you have a Bible on your phone. We have access to what God said from thousands of years ago. It's been preserved. And so, what if there was only one copy of God's Word that we had to share, like all of us, that we had no other access of God's Word? What would we do? Like, would we start being like, okay, we got to, like the Bible's going to be like here at the pulpit. You can come anytime you want and read the Bible. I mean, would we start being like, wow, we got to read what Jesus says? I mean, there would be this like hunger, like, hey, there's only one place we can read God's Word. Let's go read it. Let's go find out what Jesus says. Let's be all about what Jesus is about. And I'm not saying it's bad that we have lots of Bibles. It's actually great that we have lots of Bibles. But how do we treat the fact that we have lots of Bibles? Because if we have Bibles all over the place, and even on, you know, even digitally or on the computer, whatever it is, are we hungering after God's Word? Are we living according to God's Word? Are we reading it, meditating on it, asking the Lord to show us what he wants for us, asking him to help us to live according to his Word? You know, living according to the Word of God, living is all about, you know, about a relationship with Jesus. You know, when we have a relationship with Jesus, then we're not just following some rules. We're not just trying to look at some religion and be religious. Nothing wrong with some of that. If our heart is about Jesus and growing in relationship with Jesus. There's a song by Phil Wickham that says, "You didn't come for religion, but a relationship with me." Jesus came to be in relationship with us. You know, we're friends with a person. Jesus calls us friends. And so we're friends with the person of Jesus Christ. And if we're friends with the person of Jesus Christ, it's not a system of beliefs, it's not traditions, it's not all these other things. It starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus and what he wants and his heart. You know, you can be religious without having a relationship with the Lord. And unfortunately, that is the case for some people. And I pray it's not any of you. But you can be religious. You can come to church on a regular basis. You can sing songs. You can pray. You can do all these things. But if there's no relationship with Jesus, it's all pointless. It's all a facade. It might just be for show. You know, religion has no point without a relationship with Jesus. And you can be religious without really knowing God's heart. But he invites us into a real relationship with him, where you can trust that he's really good and surrender everything to him, to his good and perfect will. So as believers, let's walk in that friendship. Let's walk living according to the word of God. Let's be hungering after his word. Let's be realizing he calls us friends and he commissions us to bear fruit. He wants us to live according to His word, and He commands His friends to love each other. Living according to Jesus' word is something that maybe you seek, maybe you want, but it's not just what we want. It's what we are going to value. It's what we put our time into, you know, so we can read His word on a regular basis. But I don't want you just to read His word. I want you to treasure His word. When you treasure His word, whatever Jesus says, our hearts are aligning with that and desiring what Jesus wants. Praying His word, like this 21 days of prayer, praying what He wants. And then finally, when we're valuing His word, we're treasuring His word, reading His word, we're going to start living His word. And even if it's just small steps, we're going to start following what He wants us to do. If we're a follower of Jesus, then we should think, His word is my command. Whatever He wants is what I want. And so if that's not how you think right now, if that's not how you are living right now, then I want to just encourage you to remember that Jesus wants you to love Him with all His heart. And the only way you can do that is by letting Him be in charge, letting Him have His way, letting Him show you His way of love. And then when we experience how wonderful He is, and we're abiding in His love, and we're being so filled with His love, and we're freely giving our life, and we're faithfully obeying His teaching, when we're living His way, then what happens is, it doesn't seem like a chore. It doesn't seem like, we have to love each other. We'll want to do that. We'll want to love. We'll want to show Jesus to others. We'll want to be on mission with Him. There's this song that we're going to close with here in a moment that's called "He Calls Me Friend" by City of Light. And I'll read some of the lyrics. It says, "I have a friend, a faithful friend. Jesus is His name. He will not leave. He stands with me. My shepherd, He remains. I have a friend, a mighty friend, and Jesus is His name. I shall not fear. He holds me near. His strength will keep me safe." And the chorus goes, "His name is true King, Lord of creation, ruler without end. I call Him hope, peace, wonderful Savior. And what joy that Jesus calls me friend." If you believe that Jesus is your friend, and it's a joy that Jesus is your friend. He's your Savior, He's your Lord, He's your King, but He's also your friend. And He tells you the Master's business. He lets you know the heart of God. He wants you to bear fruit, and He wants you to love each other. As we pray, I just want to ask you to search your heart and see where you're not living according to His word. And as you confess those things, when God is bringing those up and throughout this day, when God is showing you ways that you're not living according to His word, confess those things and receive Jesus' forgiveness and His assurance of His friendship and His commission for you to bear fruit, and ask Him to help you live according to His word. So let me pray. Jesus, we thank You that You are the life giver. You are the King of kings. That You are the one that we can trust no matter what happens. Lord, I pray that we would be committed to You in prayer. That we would seek to live with all our heart loving You. Lord, I pray that You would give us a heart that is for people. That is for Your word. Lord, I pray that we would be wanting to live according to Your word. And not just wanting to, but is seeking after You and You showing us how to live according to Your word. And Lord, I pray that You would draw us and beckon us and speak to us and call us by name and convince us of Your love. Lord, we pray that You would bring down spiritual powers that distract and tempt and numb, confuse and deceive us. Lord, we pray that You would open our hearts and minds to Your truth, to Your word and to Your way. Convict us of our sin, Lord, Show us our need for you. Lord, we pray that you would eclipse every other longing and desire and pursuit. And Lord, we pray that we would, because of you, bring back the wanderer, the wayward, and the rebellious. Lord, we pray that you would reach those who have never heard, that you would enlighten those who don't understand. Lord, we pray that you would save the lost, that you would heal the broken, that you would rescue those far away. And Lord, we pray that you would use our church and other churches as our lives as catalysts for renewal and restoration and revival in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we pray for all glory and honor and praise in Jesus Christ, our crucified, resurrected, and returning Lord and King. Thank you that you call us friend and that we can trust you. Amen.